Random House Audio presents The Collected Short Stories of Louis L'Amour. Unabridged Selections from the Frontier Stories, Volume 1, by Louis L'Amour. Read for you by John Bedford Lloyd. The Gift of Cochise. Tense and white to the lips, Angie Lowe stood in the door of her cabin with a double-barreled shotgun in her hands. Beside the door was a Winchester 73, and on the table inside the house were two Walker Colts. Facing the cabin were 12 Apaches on ragged calico ponies, and one of the Indians had lifted his hand, palm outward. The Apache sitting the white-splashed bay pony was Cochise. Beside Angie were her 7-year-old son Jimmy and her 5-year-old daughter Jane. Cochise sat his pony in silence. His black, unreadable eyes studied the woman, the children, the cabin, and the small garden. He looked at the two ponies in the corral and the three cows. His eyes strayed to the small stack of hay cut from the meadow and to the few steers farther up the canyon. 3 times the warriors of Cochise had attacked this solitary cabin, and 3 times they had been turned back. In all, they had lost 7 men, and 3 had been wounded. 4 ponies had been killed. His braves reported that there was no man in the house, only a woman and 2 children. So Cochise had come to see for himself this woman, who was so certain a shot with a rifle, and who killed his fighting men. These were some of the same fighting men who had outfought, outguessed, and outrun the finest American army on record. An army outnumbering the Apaches by 100 to 1. Yet a lone woman with 2 small children had fought them off, and the woman was scarcely more than a girl, and she was prepared to fight now. There was a glint of admiration in the old eyes that appraised her. The Apache was a fighting man, and he respected fighting blood. "Where is your man?"
"He has gone to El Paso."
Angie's voice was steady, but she was frightened as she had never been before. She recognized Cochise from descriptions, and she knew that if he decided to kill or capture her, it would be done. Until now, the sporadic attacks she had fought off had been those of casual bands of warriors who raided her in passing.
"He has been gone a long time. How long?"
Angie hesitated, but it was not in her to lie.
"He has been gone 4 months.
Cochise considered that. No one but a fool would leave such a woman or such fine children. Only 1 thing could have prevented his return.
"Your man is dead," he said.
Angie waited, her heart pounding with heavy, measured beats. She had guessed long ago that Ed had been killed, but the way Cochise spoke did not imply that Apaches had killed him, only that he must be dead, or he would have returned.
"You fight well," Cochise said. "You have killed my young men."
"Your young men attacked me."
She hesitated, then added, "They stole my horses."
"Your man is gone. Why do you not leave?"
Angie looked at him with surprise.
"Leave? Why, this is my home. This land is mine. This spring is mine. I shall not leave."
"This was an Apache spring," Cochise reminded her reasonably.
"The Apache lives in the mountains," Angie replied. "He does not need this spring. I have 2 children, and I do need it."
"But when the Apache comes this way, where shall he drink? His throat is dry, and you keep him from water."
The very fact that Cochise was willing to talk raised her hopes. There had been a time when the Apache made no war on the white man.
"Cochise speaks with a forked tongue," she said. "There is water yonder,"
she gestured toward the hills, where Ed had told her there were springs.
But if the people of Cochise come in peace, they may drink it this spring.
The Apache leader smiled faintly. Such a woman would rear a nation of warriors. He nodded at Jimmy. The small one, does he also shoot?
He does, Angie said proudly. And well, too.
She pointed to an upthrust leaf of prickly pear.
Show them, Jimmy.
The prickly pear was an easy 200 yards away, and the Winchester was long and heavy. But he lifted it eagerly and steadied it against the door jamb as his father had taught him, held his sight an instant, then fired. The bud on top of the prickly pear disintegrated. There were grunts of appreciation from the dark-faced warriors. Cochise chuckled. The little warrior shoots well. It is well you have no man. You might raise an army of little warriors to fight my people.
I have no wish to fight your people, Angie said quietly. Your people have your ways, and I have mine. I live in peace when I am left in peace. I did not think, she added with dignity, that the great Cochise made war on women.
The Apache looked at her, then turned his pony away. My people will trouble you no longer, he said. You are the mother of a strong son.
What about my two ponies? She called after him. Your young men took them from me.
Cochise did not turn or look back, and the little cavalcade of riders followed him away. Angie stepped back into the cabin and closed the door. Then she sat down abruptly, her face white, the muscles in her legs trembling. When morning came, she went cautiously to the spring for water. Her ponies were back in the corral. They had been returned during the night. Slowly the days drew on. Angie broke a small piece of the meadow and planted it. Alone, she cut hay in the meadow and built another stack. She saw Indians several times, but they did not bother her. One morning, when she opened her door, a quarter of antelope lay on the step, but no Indian was in sight. Several times during the weeks that followed, she saw moccasin tracks near the spring. Once, going out at daybreak, she saw an Indian girl dipping water from the spring. Angie called to her, and the girl turned quickly, facing her. Angie walked toward her, offering a bright red silk ribbon. Pleased, the Apache girl left. And the following morning there was another quarter of antelope on her step, but she saw no Indian. Ed Lowe had built the cabin in West Dog Canyon in the spring of 1871, but it was Angie who chose the spot, not Ed. In Santa Fe, they would have told you that Ed Lowe was good-looking, shiftless, and agreeable. He was, also, unfortunately handy with a pistol. Angie's father had come from County Mayo to New York, and from New York to the Mississippi, where he became a tough, brawling river boatman. In New Orleans, he met a beautiful Cajun girl and married her. Together, they started west for Santa Fe, and Angie was born en route. Both parents died of cholera when Angie was 14. She lived with an Irish family for the following 3 years, then married Ed Lowe when she was 17. Santa Fe was not good for Ed, and Angie kept after him until they started south. It was Apache country, but they kept on until they reached the old Spanish ruin in West Dog. Here there were grass, water, and shelter from the wind. There was fuel, and there were pinons and game. And Angie, with an Irish eye for the land, saw that it would grow crops. The house itself was built on the ruins of the old Spanish building, using the thick walls and the floor. The location had been admirably chosen for defense. The house was built in a corner of the cliff, under the sheltering overhang, so that approach was possible from only two directions, both covered by an easy field of fire from the door and windows. For 7 months, Ed worked hard and steadily. He put in the first crop, he built the house, and proved himself a handy man with tools. He repaired the old plow they had bought, cleaned out the spring, and paved and walled it with...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?